Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. When a child is born to decent white parents, even in today's corrupt society, he or she is usually given a fairly good start in understanding where he or she came from and why. Your mother and father had a great love for each other, we tell the child, and out of that love, we made you. All the love that we possess for each other and for the future, of which you will be an important part, is expressed in our love for you. Many white parents still have sound natural instincts, and their spontaneous loving words to their offspring reflect this. In the best homes, parents teach their sons and daughters about the sacred nature of their sexual identity and its link to the infinite future. Perhaps not in these exact words, but in essence. One day, you too will find the love of your life in a member of our race of the opposite sex. And your love will also make a child, many children, and the link between the mysterious beginning of life and its ultimate future will be yours to make anew and make greater than ever before. This is your honor. This is your joy. This is your responsibility. That's a very good beginning. But it is only a beginning. In their early years, many, if not most of our children, are given the basics of morality, including sexual morality, by their family's church. Before they reach 6 years of age, most are sent to public schools by parents who spend too much time chasing the greasy dollar to do the job themselves, where they receive what is called sex education. And all throughout their lives, our children are subjected to an endless barrage of sexual images, attitudes, and values by the mass media. And by all of these institutions, they are failed. They are failed so completely and so utterly that the word failed is impossibly weak. Betrayed is better. Calling what these institutions do attempted murder is not far from the mark. Now, many of the churches, it is true, do try to teach some sense of the sacredness of marriage, family, and children, but often portray our sexuality with a strong veneer of sin, filth, and a sense of forbidden evil. And there is little taught to our children of the reasons for forbidding certain kinds of sexual behavior, except God says so. God as defined by Jewish scriptures, of course. Young people inevitably discover that sexuality brings joy, yet they are told it's dirty. Is it any wonder that many of them end up believing that sex is dirty fun and go on to pursue as much dirty fun as they think they can get away with? Is it any wonder that they have, like the Jews, a schizophrenic attitude toward sex, loving it and hating it at the same time, and deep down regarding it as something low and animalistic, though impossible to resist? Is it any wonder that the clergy, and not just the celibate clergy, are renowned for sexual perversions and excesses and hypocrisy? We rightly tell our children, you will find the love of your life in a member of our race of the opposite sex. But those values are subverted by the churches. Mainstream denominations have abandoned nature's opposite sex command and openly endorse homosexuality. And even the more conservative churches now preach that choosing a member of another race as a sexual partner is perfectly all right with Jesus and Yahweh. These churches are filled with military men and missionaries, with Oriental or Mestizo or Filipino wives, and black male, white female pairings are now celebrated in even the most conservative churches in ever-increasing numbers. The churches are, with minuscule exceptions, now fully on board with the genocide of the white race via the bedroom, and in every other way too, such as promoting open borders, sanctuary cities, replacement migration, and all the rest of it. So what is left of value for our children in the teachings of the churches? Very little indeed. The public schools go even further. There our children are taught most subjects from a perspective in which whites are portrayed as evil, where white guilt and self-hatred are mandatory, and in which racial mixture and the tolerance of every possible kind of sexual perversion are viewed as moral absolutes which can never be questioned. But aside from all the open anti-white propagandizing, the primary value taught to our young people in their sex education classes is avoidance of pregnancy. The very purpose for which nature brought sexual love into existence is to be thwarted at all costs, our children are told. And they are given detailed instructions in how this is to be done, and stern warnings as to the terrible consequences if contraception is not used. They are taught that, possibly second only to death, pregnancy is a disaster and a tragedy. If, by some terrible accident, a child does happen to be conceived, by all means, kill it promptly. And these self-styled teachers are not just advocating for the prevention of the conception of or abortion of defective children by those with genetic abnormalities. That would be quite another matter. No. They, with intentional malice, have as their target the healthy white child, whose extermination they avidly desire. With these kinds of values being taught to our youth, is it any wonder that mental derangement, self-harm, depression, and suicide stalk the land? After the evils of death and pregnancy, at least the kind of pregnancy that leads to white children, comes the evil of early marriage, which, as we all know, leads to the oppression of women, a lessened ability to go into student loan debt and collect worthless degrees, and the slowing of our forward progress on the hamster wheel of today's economy. In short, almost everything our young people are taught about their sexuality by nearly all the authority figures in their lives goes against nature and the natural feelings that have dwelt in our souls for thousands of years. This anti-life value system is carried over long past the teen years as social pressures to complete one's degrees and advance one's career take precedence over having children, long into the 20s, 30s, and beyond. This is a disaster for our race. White women are never taught the familial, personal, and emotional consequences of cheating nature until a few years before menopause, remaining barren and more or less promiscuous almost their entire natural reproductive lives, to say nothing of telling them that by doing this, they are making it mathematically impossible for our people to avoid extinction. Is it any wonder that young people of both sexes are confused and depressed? Is it any wonder that sexual relationships are brief and unhappy and empty? Is it any wonder that our race is dying? Die it will, unless something is done soon to reverse this madness. The National Alliance is an organization of men and women who are working every day of our lives to reverse the madness. We work to bring a new order and a new morality to our people. We are different, vastly different, from other groups which profess a concern with white survival. We understand that the values and beliefs of the past were wrong and must be replaced, totally replaced, if we are to survive. The men and women of the National Alliance are building a church and ultimately a whole society that will teach our children that we and they are part of a unique and highly evolved race, the white race, possessed of a creative intelligence that has the power to remake this world, control and accelerate its own evolution, and become the founders of a new civilization that will break the bonds of Earth and seed the stars with our kind. Our church, the Cosmotheist Church, teaches that the survival of our uniquely beautiful race and its advancement to higher and higher levels of wisdom, creativity, and understanding is the real meaning of life and of God. Everything that we do, everything that we believe, every law we live by, and everything we teach our children must be made subordinate to that great purpose. Dr. William Pierce expressed the cosmotheist understanding of sexual morality when he wrote, quote, "The primary consideration in our sexual ethics is that sexual intercourse is the means by which we create the next generation of our race. It is in this era of the development of the whole, the Creator's most important mechanism for self-evolution, for ascending the path of self-realization. Thus, it is the result of the sex act that is all important. It is primarily and essentially an act of creation. What it is that we create must be the primary criterion for the value and desirability of the act. The ultimate sexual crime, then, is interracial sex, and akin to this is sex which will, or is likely to, create a deformed, ugly, diseased, or otherwise deficient child of our own race. Sexual reproduction, the creation of the next generation, is the highest personal responsibility with which each man and woman of our race is charged. The most grievous dereliction of our duty is to shirk or abuse this responsibility. And the way in which we fulfill our responsibility is to exercise the greatest possible care in the selection of a sexual partner. Care based on considerations not so much of compatibility as of genetic quality. As a corollary, to recognize our own shortcomings and in many cases to refrain from reproducing at all is the way in which we may most completely fulfill our responsibility. Note that we have not said that sex in which conception is not the immediate object is necessarily sinful. nor is the use of contraceptives necessarily sinful. It is obvious from the preceding paragraph that in many cases, failure to use contraception is the sin. For men and women will copulate. There is no denying, no halting this. After all, it is not part of our purpose to attempt to contravene nature, but live in harmony with it. Thus, when a man and woman who, because of genetic shortcomings of one or both, should not create a child, are living together, then they are morally obliged to use some effective form of contraception. Contraception only becomes a sin when, for reasons of personal selfishness or personal convenience, it is used by persons of healthy, superior genetic endowment to avoid their responsibility to pass that endowment on to the next generation. In summary, the primary sin or category of sins in the sexual realm is to defile the most precious treasure in the universe, our genetic pool, the genetic heritage of our race. A related sin, a sin of omission, is to willfully fail to enhance that heritage. After the sin of actual defilement must be ranked the sins of symbolic defilement. Sexual intercourse with a Negro or a Jew, in which contraception is used, is among these. Sexual intercourse with an animal in which conception is impossible is a sin of the same rank, as is rape and homosexuality. Close quote. We must teach our people that their sexuality is a part of a never-ending chain of life that leads to a divinity, a God, so great that it is beyond the present understanding of even the best minds of our race. And that as such, our sexual feelings are the most beautiful, honorable, and sacred things conceivable, and we should act accordingly. The men and women of the National Alliance work for the day when the sexes will be partners, not adversaries, and work together in this great racial and spiritual task, each taking the role for which he or she is best fitted. We work for the day when the health of the race, the bringing of the new white souls we need into this world, takes precedence over money, over degrees, over material possessions, and over convenience. We work for the day when the woman pregnant with a healthy white child is given very high status, and her educational needs and cultural aspirations are provided for, whether by distance learning or university courses after her children are born, without in any way limiting or suppressing her natural desires and purpose in life. The men and women of the National Alliance work for the day when families will be rewarded more for bringing high-quality white children into this world than they are for inventing a way to make a useless gadget or processed food 10 cents cheaper than the next guy. We work for the day when the best minds of the younger generation can be educated without crippling debt that destroys their ability to start a family. We work for the day when we say goodbye forever to the racial parasites, both the brown parasites of the underclass and the super-rich parasites of the self-chosen class, who live off the wealth stolen from us and who bleed us until we are too poor to provide for our own children. The men and women of the National Alliance work for that day, and that day is coming. Join us now, today, in this, the greatest task of this or any other age. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. Volume 2 of our CD series, containing 20 more of the best radio speeches by our founder, Dr. William L. Pierce, is now available. It's entitled William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 2. To get your copy, just visit natall.com, that's NATALL.com, and click on CD offer. Or send $16 for one CD, $50 for five CDs, to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. That's National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Or go to natall.com, that's NATALL.com, and click on CD offer. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strong reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies.